Jesus 1, 2, 3. It's a sermon series we're on. It's all of 3 weeks. I got the three right this time. Jesus 1, 2, 3. And as I mentioned before, there are sermon notes. You can follow along, get things a little bit better in your mind, review them later. It'll help. Sandy, if you want to find the typo in there, you can. There is one. Sandy always lets me know when there's a typo in there. So, all right. So last week was week one, and we talked about how Jesus is eternal. So that's the first one in this, is Jesus is eternal. And then the next is this week. Okay, that's obvious. And that's that Jesus is active. So first eternal, second active. And all of this is taken out of the E100, the Essential 100 readings. And the last reading of this week, of the five readings for this week, was Luke 15. So I'm going to share it for those of you who didn't have a chance to read it. And for those of you who did read it, hear these words again and open yourselves up to the truth of God. Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that one lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks. So, things lost and things missing. I've got something missing here. It's a DeWalt reciprocating saw. I don't know where it is. I went to use it, and it was gone. And I lend out my tools, and so I called around, "Hey, you know, do you have it? Nope, nobody seems to have it." And I've used it recently here at church when we were doing the fellowship hall, so I went through all the closets and nooks and crannies of the church, and I couldn't find it. And I've used it at Dave and Julie Ewart's house, where we've been doing a lot of renovations. Went through all their basement spaces and back in the part of the house that hasn't been renovated yet. Couldn't find it. Like, it's got to be at my place. So I go up to my attic workshop area, which is still a disaster 3 years after moving in. And I search and I move and I can't find it. Now, I haven't been searching for my circular saw. Haven't been searching for my jigsaw. Haven't been searching for my table-mounted jigsaw. None of the other saws I've been searching for. I know where they are. I'm searching for the one that's missing. So this is probably a little obvious, but the first thing that we need to just have in mind today, you don't search for what you have. You search for what is lost. Okay, simple thought, but hold that thought. That you search for things that are lost, not what you already have. But not everything that's lost is worth searching for. Next picture. Who knows what those are? All right, some of you do. Yes, those are Nerf darts from Nerf guns. Now, you buy those in the pack, and if you buy them the generic bulk brands, you know, you can buy a couple hundred at a time. So this fall, I bought a few hundred, and a few hundred others came over to our house, and these guys did this. Next picture. All right. We had a full-out Nerf battle at our house, and there were somewhere around, I'm guessing, 500 darts all throughout our lawn. And now, they were of some value because you can pick it up, put it back in your gun, and shoot somebody. But in general, they have very, very little worth. So we looked around, but we didn't search, do we still have 500 of them at the end? Because, yeah, that's why I said there are 500, because we only had about 300 ourselves. So, but you don't search for things of no value. You search for things of worth. Okay, next blank. Just thinking about that. Things that are lost. Not everything that's lost is worth searching for. Things of value, things of worth. But this message this morning and in Jesus' teachings, it's not about tools, it's not about Nerf darts, it's not about sheep, it's not about coins, it's about the kingdom of God, it's about souls. Souls, that part of you that God cares about the most. The part of you that lasts for eternity. The part of you of most value, most worth. Those who love God are found. Those who follow Jesus are found. Those who walk in a manner of worthy of the call of God are found. They're the sheep in the flock. They're the coin in the purse. They're secure. This passage is talking about searching and rejoicing. And in that, it's teaching. Jesus is teaching about the values and heart of God. So, how do I get from there, Jesus teaching about what God cares about, to saying Jesus is active? Where is this active? He's eternal and he's active. Where do we see this active thing? Well, we see it in what he says about himself. Jesus says, the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's from John chapter 5. Jesus is about, as a Son of God, doing what the Father cares about, doing what the Father's doing. And what did Jesus come to do? But Jesus came to seek and save what was lost. That's a direct quote of Jesus. He's talking about himself. He's saying, the Son of Man, that's me, came to seek and to save the lost. Because that's what God wants. God wants the lost returned. God wants the lost to be found, the insecure to be brought in and made secure, brought to the right owner in the right way. I'm trying to ignore this hum, but I can't do it. So one second. When we get back to music, we'll need to turn that back on. I actually, before service, sat over there on my phone and ordered a part to get rid of that hum. All right. Whew, the hum is gone. I was like, I don't want to distract people by saying there's a hum, but there was a hum. When the air gets dry, the electronics change. All right. So let's get back at this. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. All right. That's Jesus talking about what Jesus was here for. Back then, Jesus talking himself. But what about today? And that's why, you've seen this slide before, we're going to see it one more time. Jesus is eternal. That's why we started there. Because it says Jesus didn't just start at the birth of a baby laid in a manger, but no, the Son of God has always been the Son of God. The Father God has always been Father God. Spirit has always been Spirit. They're eternal. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he was doing back when he was walking on earth is what he was doing before he came to earth and what he's doing now. Seeking, saving the lost, creating new. Everything that is created through him. No beginning, no end. Jesus is active today. Active in lives, actively looking for those who need him. Still today, this is true. It's doing the will of the Father through the power of the Spirit, the Trinity at work with the Son of God. So I want to keep using the words of Jesus. And I shared a little bit from John 5 saying, hey, I do whatever the Father tells me. That's the top stuff that's so small you can't read it in the back. But then he says, okay, as the Father raised the dead and gives him life, so I do that too. I give life. And then I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has entered eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Those who hear the words and believe the words of Jesus, that's who's going to live. Jesus is still having his words heard of repent. Turn from doing it your way to turn to doing it God's way. Admit you're trying to rebel against God and say, hey, I want to be with God. To repent, to believe that God loves you, God cares for you, God forgives you. To be baptized as a sign and a seal of God in this world and in your life. And then to follow Christ, to seek to be like Christ, to connect to God, to serve others, to worship God. To hear, to believe, to put it into action. So with all of this, what's your reaction? Where do you take it yourself? Now you may be saying, oh, well, hey, I've already heard, I believe. Well, that's really not the reaction I'm talking about. Some of you may need to think about that, of am I committing my life to God? Do I want to go in a better direction? Am I willing to hear the words of Christ? But there's another reaction in all the seeking and saving that I want to think about. That really stirs within a congregation like ours that's been here for over 150 years. Because this week, I was talking to somebody on the phone from another church. You don't know the person, you don't know the church. Don't try and figure that out. All right, who was really upset. And they're like, there are new people and they're changing things. They were really upset there were new people in their church, and those new people had the audacity to change things. And they were upset. And it reminded me of what happened next in Luke 15. In Jesus' teaching, after he talks about the... we can go back. Just stay on that one for a while. It reminded me of what happened next. We talked about sheep, we talked about coins, and then Jesus gives a longer parable. Many of you are familiar. It's a parable of the prodigal son. The cocky young kid who says, Dad, I don't want to wait. Give me my money. He takes his money. He goes. He squanders it. He lives wild. He wastes it all. There's a recession. He ends up feeding pigs as a servant and almost starving to death. And he's like, this is ridiculous. He wakes up, comes to his senses, goes home, and he's like, okay, I'm just going to tell Dad. I'm going to tell Dad, I'm sorry. I'll just be your servant. And he comes back, and the dad's waiting and watching and looking for him. He's like, there's my son. And he runs, and he greets him, and he grabs him, and he says, let's throw a party. Again, that same thought, just like the sheep coming back, the coin coming back, the son coming back. Let's rejoice and celebrate. But do you know what happened next? There was this older brother in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he's like, what's going on? And your brother's back. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And he went, and the dad had to say, no, come on in. Your brother was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. But that older brother was all sorts of bent out of shape. He was angry, and he refused to go in. Today, when new people come in, listening to the voice of God, finding that there's more, there should be no fussing. That's not what's happening in heaven. When new people are coming in, when new people are changing things, messing things up. Because Jesus came to draw people in. And again, in the same conversation I had, the person said, well, it'd be okay if there were good people, but these are not good people who are coming in. Direct quote, these are not good people. Well, now let's look at that passage from Acts 15. The tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. These are not good people. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, these are not good people. Oh, wait. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. In that process of reaching out, of finding the lost, of welcoming people in, all sorts of people will come in. That's the design that God has. That's the ministry of Jesus. And how do you react? Do you get angry? Well, hopefully not. We're, a little more righteous than that, right? Do we mutter? Maybe. I've heard some muttering. Is there resentment? I know this is personal. I know this is us. But we need to stop and reflect on the teaching of how it applies to us. How do we react when God's work is happening? when new people are hearing, when people who aren't redeemed yet, haven't repented yet, come in and want to hear about Jesus. We welcome them in. Because, let's click once on that slide, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who turns their life around. One person who turns their life around. It's worth any mess involved. Everyone is welcome here. There should be rejoicing. That is the response of a church that's focused on what Jesus wants to do in this world. When quote unquote, they're not good people, come in, hey, that's the point. We're not good people. We're people loved by God, redeemed by God, being transformed, but we're not there yet ourselves, so let's not joke about that. That, oh, well, we're all right and other people aren't. No, none of us are right. We've all got problems. Some hide it better. But so we need to be welcoming of all and rejoice. Anybody comes in and says, hey, what else is there? Rejoice when we start to see changes in our lives and in other people's lives. Rejoice because this is the activity of the eternal Son of God. Jesus is still active today. So let's rejoice. Let's listen to Jesus' word to ourselves. And let's share Jesus' word with others. And let's rejoice when we see people's lives change. Let's rejoice when our church goes through shifts and change and transformation. Let us rejoice because Jesus is active today in our lives, in this church, in this community, and in this world. And it's an amazing thing that God is doing and that we, each one of us, gets to be part of. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to fill our lives with rejoicing. Rejoicing of the fact that you are not only eternal and steadfast and trustworthy, the same yesterday, today, and forever, but rejoice that you are transforming lives, that you are reaching out to seek and to save the lost, to return those who are distant to the rightful place of security and relationship with you. Lord, we just thank you for this. We worship you. Amen.